Number one, Christians believe that Jesus Christ is, in fact, the promised Messiah, that he's God. Two, that Jesus Christ died on the cross to atone for man's sins, ultimately to reconcile man with God. And three, that Jesus Christ's death on the cross ultimately was the action that opened up the gates to heaven. Right? And then I spent, you know, pretty much those 6 weeks talking about why do we believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah? How do we know? And two, why do we believe that Jesus Christ had to die on the cross? We know he had to suffer, but could have he just simply suffered by running a triathlon? Right? I don't know if they had triathlons at the time, but essentially there's some significance as to the why in that. And then thirdly, why do we believe that, in fact, Jesus Christ's death on the cross ultimately did open the gates to heaven? How do we know? So the reason why I chose that Bible study topic more than anything is that I'm of the strong belief that the greater the understanding that you have about why you believe what you believe, the greater the conviction is for that belief, right? The greater that you understand why you believe what you believe, the greater the conviction it is for that belief. And where can you go to best understand why you believe what you believe? Well, Bible study. And how can Bible study do that? In multiple ways. Probably the most obvious thing that Bible study can do for you is it can enable you to dig deeper and research the topic of Christianity. Secondly, Bible study offers the opportunity for you to challenge your faith. Right? And for a lot of people, that feels uncomfortable. That maybe doesn't feel right that you could be challenging Christianity. But it's actually quite healthy to do that. It actually builds more conviction rather than less. And then, you know, thirdly, Bible study offers the opportunity to learn from others. You got a lot of smart people around you. They're going to ask questions, and you tend to learn from different people's perspectives. But further, what I think is probably the most important or relevant thing that Bible study could do for us, it provides an avenue for us to deal with the most important decision that we can make in our lives, and that's placing our eternal faith into Jesus Christ's hands. Huge, huge decision, not irrelevant at all. And like most big decisions in our life, it's worthy to go and research. It's worthy to go and ask questions. It's worthy to challenge it a bit and gain some true understanding. These are not things that you would take lightly. And it's not too dissimilar from any important decision that we make in our life, you know, in terms of wanting to really kick the tires hard. For example, if you were to buy a house and you'd walk into a realtor's office and the realtor said, hey, listen, I've got just the house for you. Here's the paperwork. Sign right here. It'd be like, no way in the world. This is too big of a decision just to make without doing research, without asking questions, without challenging, without running by your friends and family. Right? So this is the same exact thing. This is a huge decision that we've made in our lives in terms of the faith that we place in our eternal being to Jesus Christ. Bible study provides the perfect avenue in order to really address that. Let me switch gears with you for a second. And last week, Pastor Tiemann talked about sharing each other's story. I'm going to share with you my story. Not only, let me just start by sharing the story, because one of the things just to start out with is the fact that Bible study certainly can have an impact on your life of varying degrees. It had a very significant impact on my life. And as the story goes, I'm Jewish. There I said it. I'm Jewish, right? I love chocolate cake too, right? But I'm what's called a Messianic Jew. And simply what a Messianic Jew is, it's a fancy term for a Jew that believes that Jesus Christ is, in fact, the promised Messiah. So you say, okay, well, so what? Well, the so what is that it's not like I simply just woke up one morning and said, hey, today I'm going to be a Messianic Jew. It doesn't work that way. In fact, it goes severely against the grain of the Jewish belief system. That is, a Jew going from Judaism to Christianity, extremely frowned upon. In fact, it would be much less frowned upon if a Jew went from Judaism to atheism than if a Jew went from Judaism to Christianity. So it's no small thing. So how on earth did I get to become a Messianic Jew? Well, I can tell you this. It wasn't through going to Hebrew school. They didn't teach that in Hebrew school. It certainly wasn't before I was bar mitzvahed. The rabbi said, hey, listen, Dave, before you're bar mitzvahed, I want to make sure that you're making the right decision. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Right? It didn't happen there either, right? So how did it happen? Well, Let me fast forward a bit to the time that I was about to get married to my wife, Tarna. And during that time, and still to this moment, Tarna's Christian, I was Jewish, I wasn't converting, so we were going to be entering into a mixed marriage. And sort of the what I thought was a responsible thing to do is that we had the discussion of how would we raise our kids. And ultimately, we decided that we would raise our kids to be Christian, not Christian and Jewish. We didn't want to confuse them. This wasn't their issue. This was our issue. We wanted to sort of just clearly raise them to be Christian. So had and still have, thank goodness, four kids. And at the time that the four kids were young, to honor that commitment, I said, you know, I want to be the father kid that can answer the questions of my children. Right? I didn't want to be the father that said, when they asked me a question, go ask your mom. I didn't think that that was fair. So guess how I learned about more about Christianity? Went to Bible study. Right? So and the thing about going to Bible study, and I want to make this point here, too, because it's really important, is that given how I was raised, you know, I wanted to go to Bible study just to learn enough, but I was also a little bit fearful because I had this perception that all Christians want to do is convert you, which is more than a perception, I think. But still, I was going to hang tough. I was going to learn just enough, and then I was going to get out of there, and I was going to maintain my identity as a Jew. Well, my type A personality started to kick in, and what happened is that one Bible study led to two Bible studies, which led to three Bible studies, which led to 2 years of Bible study. And 1,000 questions later, I not only became comfortable that I and equipped to be able to answer the questions of my children, I came to believe that Jesus Christ is, in fact, the Messiah. So that's great. So that's a little bit too much about me. So what does this have to do with you guys? Let me share a little bit more. And one of the things, you know, that I alluded to was the fact that going from Christianity to Judaism was severely going against the grain. So it was no small thing to ultimately come and transition or transform myself from Christian to Jew. So, and naturally, Bible study was sort of that pathway to get there. So what was it about Bible study that, again, transformed my thinking and transformed my belief forever to this day? Right? And this was about 18, 19 years ago that this all took place. Well, like, there's two things about Bible study that were extremely, extremely important in order to realize this transformation. And this is where it starts to become, you know, a little bit more about how we all can benefit from Bible study. And the two things that were extremely, extremely important during my study was this. Bible study had to be relevant, right? I mean, it sounds sort of obvious, but the things that were being taught had to be extremely relevant, extremely factual, extremely meaningful, right? I mean, they couldn't just be sort of just these passing things that, hey, just trust in me sort of thing. The second thing that Bible study had to be, and probably a little bit more important than the first thing, which is hard to believe, is that Bible study had to be an interesting place to go, right? It had to be engaging. It had to be, or to say the opposite, it couldn't be boring, right? Because no matter how relevant the topics were, if it was unengaging, uninteresting, and boring, I would have never gotten to the relevant things. So I could say from my own account and my own testimony, the Bible study, you know, during those 2 years and probably the 15 years, you know, since then, it's extremely relevant and extremely engaging and extremely interesting, you know, my perspective. Let me give you an example, you know, as to how relevant and how interesting it is, and see what you guys think. Playing out the point of, you know, how did I come to believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, which was really sort of the central thing that got me initially to Christianity, I'd say there was probably three pivot points during that study that got me there. And the first pivot point, and this first pivot point is going to blow your mind, so hang on. The first pivot point was this. I came to recognize that the Bible of the Christians had two parts in it. It had an Old Testament and it had a New Testament. Isn't that unbelievable? Yeah. So why was that such a pivotal point? Because it instantly piqued my curiosity. And why did it pique my curiosity? Because I said, well, the Jewish people, they too have an Old Testament. But I said, there's no way in the world that the Old Testament of the Jews could be the same as the Old Testament of the Christians, because these are two separate, mutually exclusive, non-related religions, right? That's how I was taught. That was my mindset. Well, that led to the second pivot point, and the second pivot point was this. I came to realize that the Old Testament of the Jews was identical, or is identical, still is, identical to the Old Testament of the Christians. Chapter for chapter, verse for verse, word for word, these are identical books. Hugely, hugely pivotal point. And why was that so pivotal? Well, it led to the third pivot point, which was this. When you look at the Old Testament and how it's written, and it's written, you know, initially from God to the Jewish people, God to the chosen people. And when you start at the beginning of the Old Testament, you've got Adam and Eve sinning in the Garden of Eden, you know, getting knocked out of paradise and the gates of heaven being closed, right? Right at the very beginning. And then the rest of the Old Testament, in a thumbnail, and it's a pinky nail probably, is about how man ultimately gets reconciled with God such that the gates of heaven could ultimately open. And the manner in which the gates of heaven would ultimately be opened was through the promise of a coming of a Messiah, right? A promise of a coming of Messiah. So here it is, you know, and this is the part that I grew up, you know, always believing, is that there would be a coming of a Messiah, but he hasn't come yet. Well, how could it be that, you know, the Jewish people, through the Old Testament, get to the end of the Old Testament and end with the belief that the Messiah is yet to come? The Christians, taking that very same book, read it from beginning, get to the end, and end with the notion that Jesus Christ is, in fact, the Messiah. Jews and they both can't be right, right? I mean, simple logic, they both cannot be right. Who is right, and how did I go and break that tie, and how did I get to this third pivot point? Well, the tie was broken through a study called Old Testament prophecy, right? I did, in the study they did of Old Testament prophecy, and what Old Testament prophecy is that God, in trying to make sure that there would be absolutely no imposters when the Messiah would come, meaning that someone wouldn't come and claim to be the Messiah when, in fact, he wasn't, he put a number of clues in the Old Testament, in some 350 or so clues, that essentially create identifiers as to who the Messiah would be when the Messiah would come. It's essentially, think of it as it's the fingerprint of the Messiah. So these 350 characteristics, let me give you some examples and see what you think, go like this. One Old Testament prophecy is that that it predicted the coming of when the Messiah would actually come and be born. Old Testament prophecy also predicted that the Messiah would be born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem. The Messiah would speak in parables. The Messiah would heal the sick. The Messiah would perform miracles. The Messiah would be betrayed. The Messiah would suffer a horrible death, and the Messiah would ultimately be resurrected. Do any of those sound familiar to you guys? Right? So that's nine examples out of 350. But if you go to any of the other 341, they all line up, right? So they all line up to pointing to Jesus Christ as the Messiah. So to say in a nutshell, through Old Testament prophecy, or more specifically through the Old Testament, you know, I came to realize that Jesus Christ is in fact the Messiah. That's the pivot point. That's what broke the tie between who's right between the Jews and the Christians. I also, and it answers the first question that I asked at the beginning of this talk, which is, how do we know that Jesus Christ is in fact the Messiah? And also through the Old Testament, I was able to answer the questions of why did he have to die on the cross, and how do we know that his death on the cross ultimately opened the gates to heaven, all through the Old Testament. So what's the punchline, right? The punchline is this, right? In order to believe in Jesus Christ, you need to be Jewish, right? You need to be Jewish to be Christian, right? No, that's not the punchline. That's not the punchline at all. But what the punchline is that, you know, and what was so fascinating to me about the study is I learned about the connectivity between the Old Testament and the New Testament. I learned about the connectivity about Jews with Christians. Really, really important finding, right? So why is that, you know, you might say, well, why is that relevant to me in terms of, you know, I'm in the New Testament. I understand why I believe what I believe from the New Testament. Let me ask you this question. How many people saw the Star Wars 7? Good. Before you saw Star Wars 7, did you possibly say, hey, before I go see Star Wars 7, I want to make sure I see Star Wars 1 through 6 or 4 through 6? And the answer is yes. I know that's what you just said, was yes. You all said yes. But why would that be so important to see Star Wars 1 through 6 before you see Star Wars 7? Well, you get a much better understanding of understanding and appreciation of Star Wars 7, having seen the prequel, having seen what came before it. And that's the same thing here. I mean, understanding the Old Testament in combination with the New Testament helps us better appreciate why we believe what we believe. And you could probably sort of pitch it another way. You know, the Jews to this point, staying with the analogy, are still, you know, Star Wars 1 through 6, or most of them, they haven't seen Star Wars 7. So they'll enjoy it. They will definitely enjoy it when they get there. So where does this bring me? What does this have to do with you, and what do you stand to gain by going to Bible study? Let me start out with this and sort of maybe relieve your mind a little bit. When you die, I'm fairly certain that you're not going to be asked to say, why do you believe what you believe, in order to get to heaven. And I don't think God's going to have the attendance record as to whether you did or did not show up to Bible study. So what do you stand to gain by going to Bible study? Aside from learning why you believe what you believe, I think Bible study ultimately does one of three things for you. Number one, I think it could help you establish your faith if that faith isn't there. Two, if your faith is there, I think Bible study could help you maintain your faith. And then thirdly, I think Bible study could help you grow your faith. That's what Bible study, in a nutshell, ultimately could do for you. What have I gotten to believing that Jesus Christ is the Messiah without Bible study? Maybe I kind of doubt it, but I could say this for sure, that my continued study, or when I'm continuing to study, my conviction for who Jesus Christ is continues to grow, and when I get away from it, my conviction begins to wane. It's no different than exercising. The moment you stop exercising, both your muscles and your endurance begin to deteriorate. So that's what you stand to gain from Bible study. So I'm down to the stretch here, the last couple of minutes. I don't get that really nice music in these last 2 minutes. Jake, come on, come up here. I mean, this is a bucket list thing, right? I mean, so I want you to take out your Kleenex now. I'm going to get down to the last 2 minutes, and we're all going to have a teary-eyed moment here. Oh, that's actually a little distracting now that I think about it, because I've already lost my train of thought. No, I said, okay, that's fine. So what does that lead us to? So Bible study is fantastic. Where can you go for some Bible study? There's a lot of good Bible studies here at Emmanuel. There's a handout. You should take a look at it. You should find the one that's best for you. I got a recommendation, though. There's one that starts at 9:30. You see where this is going. Next Sunday morning in the music room. And it's on the Passover. And I don't forget who's teaching. Oh, I'm teaching it, right? So it's 5 weeks. And the Passover, just a snippet of it, is the longest celebrated holiday on the face of this earth. It's been celebrated by the Jewish people for 3,500 consecutive years, right? And what it's celebrating is a memorial, and it's a remembrance of the Jews' slavery in Egypt, and ultimately their exodus from Egypt at the hands of God through their messenger Moses. But what's most interesting about their celebration is that their celebration is a pointing to and a foreshadowing of a coming of a Messiah. That's what it is. So you say, okay, again, what is it about? Why do I need to understand about this Jewish religion if I'm Christian? Well, a couple of things. One, Jesus Christ is Jewish, and Jesus Christ on Monday, Thursday, that's a Thursday, not a Monday, celebrated the Passover in the upper room the night before he was crucified with his 12 disciples. He celebrated it the manner in which that the Jewish people celebrated it for those 1,500 prior years. But the key is that because Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that celebration would no longer be looking back to the time of the Egyptians. It would be looking back to Jesus Christ. And how do we as Christians celebrate the Passover today? In the taking of communion. So what you'll learn in this, again, is why do we believe what we believe? Why do we believe in the importance of communion? What does it mean? You'll get all the history around that. You'll also learn a little bit more about the Jewish people and how they're celebrating the Passover to this very day. And unbeknownst to them, even though they're still looking for the coming of the Messiah, much of their Passover celebration points directly to Jesus Christ. I'm about out of breath. Thank you very much for your time. Hope to see you at the Bible study. Thanks.